So many of you know that when it's Lucas's turn to preach, usually we get out a little bit earlier, don't we? Yeah. So I enjoy, I don't really watch a whole lot of soccer on television per se. I'm going to put this over here and try to put this down here as best I can. I don't really watch a whole lot of soccer, but I enjoy the sport. I played it when I was growing up a little bit and dabbled in it a little bit, but I would never call myself good, as the teams I played on, we got blown out. I've mentioned in here before, it wasn't pretty when we played until the last couple of years when we got better. We finally got the hang of it. But today, if you know anything, today is the biggest sporting event in the world. The biggest sporting event in the world. And it starts at 11 o'clock. 8 minutes. So I don't think I'll be 8 minutes today, but if you like soccer, France is playing Croatia today for the World Cup championship, and the world will be watching. The world will certainly be watching. So we'll be home plenty in time to watch the vast majority of that game. So just a little heads up. Which an interesting feature as I'm getting settled here yet. Something that I enjoy is I've always enjoyed kind of odd statistics, if that makes sense. So I read this week that Croatia, all right, in Eastern Europe, they're in the championship, right? And their country is half the size, population-wise, of New York City, all right? So I'm not exactly sure how many millions that would be, right? But a country that small on the biggest stage in the entire world, where the entire world will be watching. So, such a feat. So, I think they're the underdogs today as they play for France. But that's just a little FYI. That's for free. All right? So, this morning, again, thank you for singing this morning. Thanks, Justin, for jumping outside your comfort box and playing and singing. Thanks again, Nate. We're going to continue on with the book of James today. So we're going to be in chapter 3. So if you want to get a little head start, you can turn there. If you grab a pew Bible in front of you, and you're not exactly sure where that's at, it's page 1,209 on your pew Bible. 1,209. So if you look up here, we're going to kind of divert just a quick second. I've liked this little picture up here, right? And I almost looked up there, but yeah, this is a shoe here. So, question for you. It's my understanding that back in the day, and we'll say back in the day as a relative figure, because that's different for everybody, okay? But back in the day, my understanding is that this style of shoe right here was the only kind of athletic shoe one could buy. Is that true? Yes, I see a few hands. How many of you back in the day, all right, owned a pair of those shoes that were similar? 2, 3, oh, excellent, a few more, okay. So the only thing I remember about them is they're a little before my time. I get they've came back, and they're kind of trendy now and all sorts of stuff. But I remember them being very flat, right? So there wasn't, if you had archy feet or anything like that, it was probably quite painful to wear. Is that right? Does that sound? How many of you have flat feet? All right, so if you wore those flat shoes, did it hurt? Anybody? No? No? Yes? No? Okay. So I just remember thinking, and as I got older and was playing athletics and things like that, and seeing those kind of shoes, thinking, how could anybody run around in those shoes and that be comfortable, right? So six, 8 months ago, I sat in on a drug prevention seminar, and the main speaker was from the governor's house in Columbus. And I have no idea why, but she brought up this style of shoes 2 or 3 times. And she was saying, those are the most awful shoes that a human could ever make and promote and even wear. She's like, they are the most uncomfortable shoes. And I was like, I've never had the chance to own them. And here we are, fast forward several months, and here they are up on our screen. So I thought that was a little comical. Walking in James, you know, walking in flat shoes, all right? So we're going to continue our walk through James, and we're going to be in chapter 3, all right? As always, I'm thankful to share God's word with you today, And, you know, I've really enjoyed the series. I know some of the weeks I've been with kids and things like that. So, you know, I would encourage you guys that if you've missed a Sunday or if you missed a few Sundays, to try and go back to the church website and listen and catch up to where we're at. And we've gone through the first two chapters. Today we're starting chapter number 3. And next week will be in chapter 3 as Pastor Jesse resumes where I'm at. But, you know, I trust that you'll be convicted today of through our time in the Word, and that that we make much of the Lord today, and that we're just we're in a place where we can intentionally listen and be fed today. So that's what my hope, that's what my prayer is today. And let me pray, and then we'll launch in. So let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for today. I pray that just as we begin chapter 3, Lord, that your hand of blessing would be upon our time. Lord, that we would make much of your name today, and that chapter 3, as we start that today, would be clear and visible to us, Lord, and that we would grasp the things that we need to grasp through the help of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, so just as I mentioned a moment ago, we went through the first two chapters, right? And today we're beginning chapter 3. We're not going to take a huge time to review, but last week we learned and were taught on faith and works, and that true faith in Jesus produces works that bring glory to God, right? Faith and works. Last week, if I remember correctly, Abraham was used as an example of how he trusted God with his son's life. Remember how Abraham commanded he was going to use his son as the sacrifice and had to bind him up and put him on the altar, and then God said stop and provided a substitute ram, you know, for the altar that day. Faith and works. So James 2:26 says this, and if you just want to, you know, look back in your Bible, you know, God's word says this as we read this last week, but it says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." So faith and works, you know, they go hand in hand for God's glory. So just remember and know that for a body to be alive and active as we are, we're alive and active, we're breathing, we're moving, things like that, you know, we must have a spirit, right? So all of us have a spirit. So faith in Christ this morning, you know, must have works, right? It must have works to give faith the real, authentic feel, all right? What we are not doing here is we are not advocating or promoting a works-based salvation. We're not doing that. So be clear on that. We're not saying that. It's just that faith and works go hand in hand in the true life of a believer of Jesus, right? Faith and works. Okay. James 3. So if you look at your Bible, most Bibles, I'll probably say, we'll err on the side of caution. 90% of Bibles, how's that, all right, have usually over the beginning of chapters have some sort of little 3 to 7 word kind of title just to kind of give you as the reader a little heads up as to what you will be reading in that chapter. Now, some, not like I said, all, not all Bibles, some small New Testaments and things like that sometimes do not. But I looked in the Pew Bible, my personal Bibles, they all do, all right? And so if you look at your Bible, depending on what kind of Bible you have, or if you have a Pew Bible, here are a few of the subject titles that I'm talking about. So in chapter 3, right above verse 1 somewhere, it'll say something like, "Taming the Tongue." That was one of them. The Pew Bible, all right, in front of you says, "The tongue is a fire," all right? A couple of the commentaries that I used this week as I was preparing, and above the chapter it said, "Slow to speak." And the other one said, "Power of the tongue." Okay, so it's I think it's kind of clear that today we'll be talking about tongue, speech, and words, and what all that looks like. Tongue, speech, and words. And since James does not address the next few things that I'm going to talk about, I'll do it for James. How's that? I found this week some fun facts that James conveniently leaves out about your tongue. Okay. Fun facts about your tongue that is not in God's word that I'll share with you just so that you walk away saying, "Oh, that's interesting." Here we are, all right? Did you know that your tongue here, okay, your tongue is the only muscle in the human body that works without any support from the skeleton? How many of you knew that? Wow, Jen, you're the only one? All right, Jen slipped her hand up. All right, if it was appropriate, we'd give Jen a round of applause, all right? It's the only It's the only muscle in the human body that doesn't use support from the skeleton. There are approximately, all right, 10,000 taste buds in your mouth. All right? 10,000 taste buds, and 8,000 of them live on your tongue. How many of you knew that? Anybody? Wow, we got a lot of mouth experts in this room here today, all right? And the other two were found in your cheeks and your lips and under your tongue, okay? The tongue, now this is debatable, because I read this in a few different places, and some of them were, they didn't quite agree with this, but this was the majority of the time, that the tongue is the strongest muscle in the entire body. The tongue is the strongest muscle in the entire body, yet also one of the most sensitive muscles. So, you know, out of all the times that, you know, your major sports teams, such and such is out with a pulled hamstring, a pulled calf, never have I saw that such and such is out for a pulled tongue, right? Doesn't happen, all right? Now, this is interesting, and this is true. In terms of flexibility, right, the tongue beats every single muscle in your mouth, right? So you may be thinking here today, man, it's hard for me to stretch. I can't get down and stretch out my legs like I used to. It hurts to stretch my arms or whatever it might be. But if you think about it, the tongue, all of us in here have no problems moving that for the most part, right? It's very flexible no matter how young or how old we are, right? Very interesting. All right, and this is easy because your dentist tells you, but it's also a natural cleanser after you eat, right? James didn't touch any of this, so that's why we're reviewing this. Couple more things here, all right? Couple more things. The color of your tongue can tell a lot about your health. Thought that was interesting. A pink tongue means good health, right? A white tongue means you have some sort of infection potentially, right? And a yellow tongue means you may have a stomach problem or a fever, all right? So just an FYI, if you're not feeling well, check out the color of your tongue. Kind of a little fun fact, women have shorter tongues in general than men. All right? And then last one, actually two more. We'll give two more. In the country of Tibet, I've never been there, probably will never go there, but it's actually a very courteous greeting to stick your tongue out at somebody. All right? All right? So if you're ever in Tibet, keep that in mind. Last one, this is not a medical diagnosis by any means, but if you have a fat tongue, and I don't even know what that means, all right? I don't know how that works or what the gauge is there, but if you have a fat tongue, that could be a warning for sleep apnea, all right? So just keep that in the back of your head, FYI, again, not a medical diagnosis, all right? So the reason why we say all that is because, you know, we're going to be obviously talking about the tongue. And James moving from faith and works to the tongue and to speech is very important. It's just kind of a natural progression. So we actually went over this in chapter 1, but I'm going to go ahead and read this scripture in James chapter 1. And the reason, and James is kind of doubling down because he touches it in chapter 1, now he's addressing it in chapter 3. But in chapter 1 he says this, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Right? So if you think about it in this way, in comparison to the rest of our bodies, right? We have our arms, our legs, our torso. You know, the tongue is kind of tucked away, not real visible, not real big, right? It's something that, you know, as we're talking to people, unless there's some sort of major problem where, you know, it's hanging out or there's food everywhere or whatever, we don't really notice it. You know what I mean? But because of its small nature and its kind of obscurity a little bit, it's one of the things on our bodies that can really cause a lot of damage, right? If it's not properly controlled and contained. So we're gonna address this. We'll look at this and see what James has to say today. So let's start reading at verse 1 in chapter 3. And all of us should be there by now, so I'll start. You can follow along on the screen if for some reason you don't want to, if you don't have your Bible in front of you, but we'll go ahead and launch. So God's word says this, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Also, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. All right. So in a way here, James establishes the general principle here that small things, such as our tongue, can cause and have large results. Right? Specifically the tongue. So if you're thinking, you know what, I get that we're talking about the tongue, but again, what does this necessarily mean? All right, so James 3. He starts with a firm warning for teachers, and he says, not many of you should become teachers, because those that teach will be judged with great strictness. So not many of you should teach, because you'll be judged with great strictness. So James gives this warning because teachers are very important today. They were very important in the early church. But James was noticing in his time, in this era of the church, that there was a lot of people that wanted to be teachers. And they wanted to be teachers for all the wrong reasons, right? And the main reason that they wanted to be teachers is because they were filled with pride and arrogance, and they wanted to get up and just talk. They wanted to show how smart they were. They wanted to talk down to those that were listening to them. And James says, whoa, 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 this is not the reason to be a teacher. You'll be judged with greater strictness, right? Make sure that you're humble. You're not full of pride. Perhaps you've heard the phrases, you know, there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, there's too many foremen, not enough laborers, along those lines, right? Same way in this, right? If you want to teach, don't be prideful, don't talk down, don't discourage, right? We want good teachers that are teaching God's word. So I think of, you know, if you teach in here today in some fashion, guess what? God's word says you're going to be judged with greater strictness. I'm teaching today. I'm preaching today. Guess what? I'm going to be judged with greater strictness. It's just the way that it is. There's no ways around that. So James is cautioning. Make sure that if you're a teacher this morning, your motives are pure and godly. And that we're not doing this, that I, you know, my goal, I can certainly say my goal today is not to be self-gratifying or to put on a good promo or anything like that. But James reminds the church this morning, be humble and be gentle. Be humble and be gentle. Be cautiously optimistic there. All right? So, you know, one of my fears that I have, kind of moving on here as well, setting that stage, one of the fears that I kind of have in a way, although it's not a great big fear, is that, you know, having kids, there's usually stuff on the floor, toys, and now that there's baby, there's some pokey baby toys that, you know, aren't necessarily a delight to step on, you know, in the dark, because I don't like turning on all these lights at nighttime. So it's a little frustrating, you know, stepping on something half asleep, and, you know, that's a really good chance to stumble, right? You know, I totally get my mom's frustration when I was young, and I had tons of those little green army guys, you know what I'm talking about? And those are not fun to step on by any means, right? That cause to stumble. I get that. So James says, you know what? We all stumble in many ways. All of us do. And that's just a simple way to say, you know what? All of us are sinners, and we need God's daily grace every day, right? Because we stumble and fall. And he's kind of alluding to that, you know what? When we're prideful, when we don't use our mouth right, when we don't say the right speech, we stumble, we fall, all right? Verse 2, continuing on, it says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. So the word perfect there is not a great word just because it's not what we think of as perfect. It just kind of means mature, right? Mature. So if you profess Christ this morning, right, Jesus is your Savior, you know, the only time perfection will come for you and I is when we get to heaven, right? That's the only time. So at the end of the day, we want to be mature believers, right, that strive for and seek for the holiness of God in all of our areas, in all of our life's areas, right? And the big thing today is with our tongue, with our speech, how we interact, making sure that we're not prideful, making sure that we're gracious and humble, right? Continuing on in verses 3 and 4. James gives practical life, real life examples of ships and horses, right? Verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies, verse 3. And verse 4 gives the example of having a large ship and a small rudder there, kind of directing and guiding that, right? So, again, as I think back on my past and my upbringing, you know, I was never raised around either of those things. I didn't know anybody with horses, never went horseback riding. I never knew anybody with a boat, never really was on a boat that was, you know, in the water by any means. I'd been on them before, but nobody to really say, this is how it works, this is, you know, so I'm kind of clueless about that. Really, my only, if you really pushed me here, my closest, you know, expertise, I guess you could say, maybe say, is with the horses at the fair that the kiddies ride on, you know, that go around in a circle. And I don't even know if those are horses. Maybe those are donkeys, for all I know. You could say that's anything, and I'd believe you, okay? All right? So I'm clueless. So if you come to me asking me about horses and ships and boats and how they work, I'm the wrong person, So don't ask, okay? But a couple of summers ago, we took a large family vacation to Pigeon Forge in Tennessee. Some of you have probably been there. There's a lot to do there with various touristy things. And part of the many touristy things to do is to go horseback riding. And there are lots of ranches and things like that that you can pick from and do that from. Okay, so we did this. We decided several months before, yeah, we'll take whoever wants to go can take the kids and we'll go. So we had, I don't know, 5, 6 adults. I was one of them and several kids. And what they did is they put us all in a big group and with guides kind of sitting, they sprinkled us all throughout. Guess what? It sounds great. Total disaster. Bad deal. So, you know, we're trying to get this big group and they got us all in a way there. We were following one another. They assured us these horses are great. You know, they're good with kids, they're good with adults. They gave us keywords to say, you know, if the horse starts running or, you know, I don't even know what they were. But they said, say this, everything will be fine, no sweat. Okay. So, again, they had bits in their mouths and they clearly pointed that out. They know when you do this, okay. So we weren't even on our path 30 seconds and total haywire. Bad, bad, bad. So some of them just stopped. So again, not even 30 seconds in, we got a big group that's way ahead. We got a group that's kind of in the middle, and then we have two in the back that didn't even start moving. So the guides that are with us are trying to get everybody around. All right. So finally, we kind of make our way to where we're kind of close to one another, and then it gets worse. Some of the horses decide they're going to start running. And we got little kids on there, 3, 4, 5 years old. You know, oh, yeah, no problem. It'll be totally fine. You guys will have the best time of your life. So mine started running, and finally it stopped. I don't even know what I did. I don't know if I said the key word or did whatever I needed to do, but it stopped. But then one of them, I think it was my niece's horse, went around us somehow and then started running, but then started going down a hill off the path that they were supposed to stay on, that they never veer off of, is what we were told. Okay. So I quick jump off the horse, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I didn't fall getting off the horse. So as soon as I get off my horse, what does my horse do? Runs away. No idea where it went. So I have to quickly go find my, as they're going down, and this, my niece is crying by now. She's petrified. All the adults are in panic mode. I get her. She comes to me. I grab her hand. We go to another place where it's, because there's horses all over, her horse runs away. So it was, I mean, from start to finish, a bad deal, right? The bits and that and those, all those horses' mouth did not work the way that we were promised to do, right? So the good thing was is they were very, you know, sorry. They gave us our money back. They said, you know, please, next time you come back and visit us. You know, yeah, we'll absolutely do that. But they were very nice and courteous. It just didn't work. You know, for whatever reason, it did not work. But the bits in the mouth didn't work. All right. So James is warning the church about the damage here that the tongue can do to the church, how the tongue can damage the cause of Christ, and that all of us as believers need to be mindful of that, watching what our tongues say. Right? So again, going back to what I said a few moments ago, is that, you know, our bodies are relatively big. The horse was is a huge animal, right? But the tongue and the mouth of a horse in comparison isn't all that big, right? And how that controls kind of what they do. It's kind of interesting that what we, in regards to us, what this does for us, the good or the bad, right? So, you know, Satan wants us to stumble, wants us to fall. Why? Because our mouth can cause dissension and discord, can spread total lies, partial truths, gossip, you name it. The list goes on. So James is warning, Christian, guard your mouth, guard your tongue. You know, be very intentional with what you say it and how you say it. You know, edify and build up instead of tearing down and building walls up with our words, right? Edify, edify, edify for the name of Jesus. So in addition to all of this, you know, James continues on with verses 5 and 6. And God's word says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on the fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. You know, as, again, going back and kind of watching the news, and it seems like, you know, there's forest fires that happen a lot, and how one small campfire ember or somebody, you know, not even putting out a cigarette appropriately can wreak havoc and cause major problems. And before you know it, whom? There's acres and miles and homes are destroyed because of forest fires, right? So forest fires are not slow moving. They're fast. And oftentimes those individuals that live out there, they have, you know, a very difficult time to work through all that. But this is what James is telling us about our tongue. It's just a short amount of time before it can lead to major, major problems. So, Christian, this morning, please, you know, be careful with how we interact with people, how we speak, how we talk, what we're saying. We want to make sure that our tongue is used to bring edification to the name of Jesus, you know? Again, and on the back side of that, as we close that little portion is, you know, this is just doubling down on what James was trying to get across with verse 1 when he's saying that teachers, you know, watch your mouths, make sure you have the right motives, right? As we kind of transition just a little bit here this morning, you know, probably we all know somebody, whether it was past or maybe even or present, that is just by nature, they're very prideful. They're a very proud person, right? You know, everything that this person says or do is the best, and it's 100% right. It's always right. Nothing is ever their fault. Nothing is ever their responsibility. You know, that person could be anybody, friend, family, coworker, neighbor. Maybe it's even you. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know everybody's personality specifically. I don't know everybody's detail. But this morning, if you struggle with a prideful tongue, you know, confess the sin. Confess it, repent from it, and ask for God's daily grace. You know, again, going back to that individual, sometimes, you know, for me anyway, always hearing somebody boast about how great they are, how good they are, how much whatever they have can be a real drag, right? It's like, ugh, got to hear this again? You know, we get it. You know, Christian, this morning, let's run from that. Let's run from that. Let's be humble. Let's be humble. Let's be proud, or not be proud. Let's be meek, full of meekness. You know, so James writes, you know, this morning, don't be proud. This is not a new idea or a new concept by any means. If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you know that God warns all throughout the book of Proverbs about pride and what that looks like. So I'm going to read a couple verses from the book of Proverbs. You don't need to turn there. God's word says in chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16, 5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. All right. So this is, we're relating the old and the new together. So God's word is very clear on pride and the tongue. You know, just speaking for myself, you know, it can be easy for every single one of us to be prideful and to be puffed up with conceit. It's easy to do. You know, God has blessed us with various things, various, you know, homes and cars and jobs and skills and abilities and you name it, right? But because of that, if we're not careful, you know, Satan can weave his way in, just as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. You know, the serpent can weave in and say, you know what, hey, you're really good at this. You're really good at that. Let everyone know, right? And that can be a cause of division and dissension. So, Christian, this morning, be careful. Be careful. You know, all of our hearts this morning are deceitful and wicked. And pride is a natural result of that. So we need to push against that. We need to push against that, right? Beware of this issue. James also helps us, you know, again, understand that the small fire becomes a big fire. Small becomes big, right? So rumors and lies and partial truths, what do? They wreak absolute havoc in the life of the church, right? So church, we want to be mindful of that. This comes directly from Satan himself, right? As Satan wants to cause damage and turmoil and stress and division as much as he possibly can, all right? Don't fall for his traps. Don't fall for the temptation. Be mature, as we talked about a few moments ago. Strive for holiness. Strive for honesty and edification in your life by God's grace today, right? Be godly and guard your tongue. It's easy to say, right? And not always the easiest to do. Be godly and guard your tongue. Let's continue with chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. And we'll begin to close here this morning as we finish this kind of section of our chapter. God's word says in verse 7, and we'll read through verse 12 again, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So in this, again, in this chapter, James continues to give more examples of God's creation being tamed, right? Just kind of held at check. You know, many of us have pets in our home, and pets usually in homes are tamed, and they're in a controlled environment that they live in, right? You know, but James goes on to say in verse 8 that no human being can tame the tongue. It's restless. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, sometimes people that have dogs keep them in cages, right? And for good reason. Some dogs are very intimidating by nature. And, you know, there's a reason that dog is in the cage, especially if company comes over or what have you. You know, if you think about it in a way, when a dog is in a cage, right, for the most part, it's in a controlled and contained environment. So unless there's some sort of major flaw, that dog is not going to, you know, chew through the metal cage. The dog is not going to, you know, ram through the door or break it until it gets open like that, right? It's in a controlled and contained environment. So as I was reading and studying this week, you know, I read this and I just thought it was good. I threw it in here and I'll read it to you. It says, "The tongue can be caged or controlled, yet it is always restless, and that believers dare not let the tongue out of the cage," right? So as I thought about that, and as I dwell on that and meditate on that and chew on that, you know, those are some pretty strong words for the believers. You know, again, being very careful what comes out of your mouth, being very careful what comes out of my mouth. You know, and going a step farther and personalizing this to myself is, you know, I need to be careful what comes out of my mouth. But James, again, doesn't stop there, continues on. Goes on to say that it's full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. You know, he's very descriptive as he writes. And my grandparents, for around 20 years, lived in Tombstone, Arizona. So that's southern Arizona, probably 45 minutes from the Mexican-Arizona border. So they're pretty far south. And if you've ever visited or been out there for any reason, you'll know that there are lots of creatures that have deadly poison, from scorpions to snakes to you name it, right? And when I've been visiting, I've seen scorpions in their sinks. Yeah, no thanks. You know, I don't need to be dishes and doing dishes and having a scorpion somehow magically appear, right? So no thank you. None of us would want to be bitten by anything that's poisonous. But, Christian, this morning, when we're not in our guard and we're not being spirit-led, right, every single one of us can spew poison. You know, we can spew poisonous words. And we can put up barriers and mistrust. And, you know, this leads to sin against to a brother, sin against a sister, and a sin against the holy and gracious God, right? So as we've already said, Christian, guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. Verses 9 and 10. And then it says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So James is saying here that it's totally hypocritical and it's total foolishness to be in a worship service such as this, to bless the Lord in word, to bless the Lord in song, to encourage one another, to speak blessings of God, and then as soon as we're done, 2 minutes in, chatter, chatter, chatter. We're telling rumors, we're telling lies, we're building walls. Don't do that, church. That's what James is writing to us and writing to them. Stay away from that. Guard your tongue, right? Why? Because every person is created in the image of God. There's no reason to do that. No reason to bless God in worship and then immediately tear down. Stay away. Church, stay away from that. Don't fall into that trap. You know, every moment, you know, does not need to be a chance for us to share exactly what we're thinking and telling everybody what we think and what we're going on in here, right? Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth, right? So you may say this, yeah, but guess what? Gene really needed to be told an earful. Or John needs to hear it. And I'm going to tell it to him, Christian, this morning. You know what? Gene and John may need to hear it at their time, but guess what? We need to address error. We need to address all that kind of, you know, in love and grace and not just off the cuff and just going rogue. Guess what? It doesn't do anything helpful for the cause of Christ, right? So say things very carefully, very carefully. You know, I'm sure, you know, at some point in time in your life, and some of you are still working, you know, I'm still working, at our place of employment, I'm sure over the years we have heard all sorts of colorful language of people yelling and screaming and going off on one another, right? We can all say absolutely. And how awkward and uncomfortable that is, you know, just kind of hearing that, you know what I'm talking about? And imagine if that happened weekly here. You know, I'd be the only one here today. And do you know why? Because I would be the only one that have to show up. So I would be, you know, essentially talking to myself. So church this morning, you know, all of us need to be very, very careful with how we interact with believers, non-believers. We want to make sure that we're putting forth, you know, God's grace as we interact with people. So guard your mouth. Don't be prideful. Guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. You know, as we close this morning, it's easy to lose sight of that because Satan is so sly that he tempts, and it's easy to fall off track. So, believer, this morning, do you receive that today? Do you fully kind of can grasp what James is getting the importance of teachers? You're going to be judged with strictness, right? Because the reason why is because you know, not this is an office that it's not for everybody. But don't use your office to be prideful and to be boastful, right? Teach God's word. And then, Christian, this morning, watch our tongue. Watch my tongue. We need to edify, 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 not put up walls. So we'll continue on with chapter 3 next week. Pastor Jesse may do a quick review, but we'll launch into verse 13 and we'll continue on. So this morning, you know, this week as you're doing your devotional times and throughout the week, in preparation for next week, read the beginning of chapter 3. launch into the end of chapter 3, just so you kind of have an idea of where we're headed. And as you study the tongue this week, even more specifically and in depth, be mindful. Be mindful of what God has for you. So let's pray together.